Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's the pitch. Swing and a drive down the right field line. It's hooking to the corner, and it's going to be gone. It just clears over the short wall in the right field corner, and Rafael Marchand has his moment. A three-run home run here in the top of the ninth inning. His second home run of the season. And the Phillies lead it 9-6.
Well, Scott Fransky last night, really awesome Phillies win.
And love that he has his moment thing, too, because that, like, that's his signature moment as a Major League Baseball player to date, you know?
And you know what, James? About three people watched it last night.
I know.
I mean, Ray, these 12:30 endings. I mean,
yeah,
come
so
on.
I woke up, so the night before I woke up to see the end, last night I woke up at 12:30. I checked my phone, and it was 6-6 in the ninth, yeah. And I went, if I stay up, because, you know, I was afraid they'd lose when it's 6-6 in the ninth. So I went back to sleep, and then I was very happy at 2:30.
You know what was crazy? 2009, when the Phillies played a playoff game against Colorado that began at 11:40 a.m. Yeah. Because it had a snow delay.
I remember that, yeah.
And it was a playoff game, so everyone had to watch it.
I remember that.
Like, you're living and dying. I think that was the game Ryan Howard had to hit down the right field line,
yeah,
right?
To get me the plate boys.
Yeah, the game four that closed out the series. And I think it started at 11:40 and ended around 2:30 or something.
Wasn't that what everybody, all the people went out there, none of them had the right clothes? Everybody had to go shopping. I just remember talking to everybody who went out there.
Was it way colder than they expected
that? They weren't expecting the
snow. Snowed.
Yeah, in the snow. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah,
you should be prepared for Colorado in October. I mean, what are we doing?
All right, so Phil's obviously in good shape. You know, we will... And I feel like we've already cranked up Phillies coverage, but we will really crank it up in about 2 weeks when the playoffs begin. You know, they're almost definitely going to get that bye. And their first playoff game, let me look it up here, is going to be Saturday, October, bear with me. Saturday, October the 4th.
What time?
I'm going to give them, let's see, it's not a bum town, it's not a bum team, so they're not going to get that 12 o'clock game.
Like four?
You know, it's always like in pro football, it's always the AFC South that gets that first freaking playoff game.
Love a Saturday late afternoon Phillies playoff game.
Because it's always those garbage teams, the Texans and all those other horrible teams.
Yep.
Yeah, Phillies will get like a 5.
Fine with me.
A 5:38.
5 works into my schedule.
Oh, that'd be amazing. It'd be mate. Please. Please.
5:38.
But you don't want the shadows, remember? The shadows from
the
last
shadows were
last
earlier,
postseason.
Though. That was like the four, whatever.
That was four. Yeah. It's the 4:05 games. That's
so I don't remember that. The playoffs last year? I remember game one this year against that freaking Nationals guy.
Well, exactly. And that's why it was so ironic because, like, last postseason against the Mets, when the Phillies didn't do well, it was, you know, the shadows. The shadows were such an issue.
Wow.
And then, like, game one of the season, to open it up, the shadows were an issue again. It's the 4 p.m. start.
That's all right, let's talk to Frank. He's calling from Delaware. What's up, Frank?
Hey, morning.
Hi, Frank.
Good morning, sir.
How is Delaware?
Where'd you get Delaware from? I'm in Atlantic City Airport.
That's what my phone, that's what my screen says.
That's what it said when you called up.
Joe's perpetrating.
Are you from Delaware originally?
No, Philly. I went to school at Reyes.
Change the system.
Yeah, we can fix it. So where do you want it from, Frank? Where are you for real? Not just right this second.
Galloway.
Okay. Frank and Galloway.
Yeah.
You went to school with Rhea, you said?
Yeah.
What, same party?
The same class?
Yeah, Rhea. Frank Nadel, yep.
Wow.
Yep. Grade school. Same party. Yeah. Shamrocks.
Yep.
Wow, so you guys like went to recess together?
Probably.
Probably.
No way.
Sure. Yeah. Anyway,
that's exciting.
Yeah, so anyway, Joe.
Yes, sir.
I can't agree with you more on both points, okay? Let's pick one. What do you want to start with, Jalen or the Tush Push? I mean, I've been against this play. It's not even a play, but it's the pushing. You're right. The pushing, if you watch the end of that play, these guys, the whoever's in the backfield, whoever they put back there, the tight end, the other running back or wide receiver, they're not even touched. They're pushing. Yeah. Everyone's doing all this work trying to get to that little gap that the Eagles mastered, plugging up because of all the reasons you guys mentioned. But it's a disadvantage logistically, if you want to use that word, for the defense.
Yes, it is.
I mean, you can't push the defensive back equivalent to where you're pushing the running. The quarterback already has the ball. He's already halfway at the goal or halfway. Sometimes they run this for 2 yards out. It's not 1 yard all the time. It's a yard and a half a lot of times.
Yeah.
I mean, it is about 3 wins a year. I've been saying this all over online. Everyone laughs and says, shut up. It's ugly. I mean, you got the best running back in the game. I mean, when's the last time Jones threw like a 3 yard slant for a touchdown? Like 2 years ago? I mean, it's just, and what are you going to do when it's gone? I mean, I don't know.
You're going to adjust. You probably won't be as good a team, but they'll have to run different type of plays. That's what they'll have to do.
Exactly. And I think Sirianni, I mean, he loves it. He admits that they practice it more than anybody, okay? But I think he got it thrown out this past week. He ran it so many times showing it off, and I think he did it at the wrong game. The commissioner was there. At the end of the game, if you heard the commentator, the referee, who I don't know who he was, he said, I'm going to stick in his push.
Blandino.
He ran it into the ground, I think, Sunday.
I think they did it because Goodell was there. I think he does it.
It's circumstantial.
A lot of situations.
It was done way more than usual.
They were third and ones and fourth and ones.
Yeah,
all right, so, Frank, what's the other brilliant point I made that you agree with?
Well, it hurts. I mean, Joe, off the top of your head, name the last best five offenses in the last 20 years. I mean,
I'll go a little further back. So I'll go with, I mean, in my lifetime that I've seen the 49ers, both with Montana and Young, that's two different groups, if you will. Obviously, the Rams in 99-01. Minnesota 98 was really something.
Peyton, look,
the Brady team with Moss in 07.
Minnesota 98 was Randall.
The Broncos
and,
team
and the
with
Broncos
Peyton
with Peyton with 50. Yeah. And the Broncos team with 55 touchdowns with Peyton. They would probably be my groups. And then, by the way, the Cowboys were really great. They weren't quite as explosive with the Aikman, Emmett, Irvin thing in the offensive line, but needless to say, they got the job done big time.
Right. So here's the deal. So, and they were all great, right? So why? If you got these great receivers, if they're great, right? The duo we have here, if they're so great, which I think they really are, I think Smith could be a lot better. I think he doesn't get used nowhere near as much as he should be. Anyway, those teams never had these kind of issues, I don't think. Like, what's the problem with the receiving game? I can't remember them. I mean, they put up record-breaking numbers these teams.
Yeah.
And this team is like the opposite. Like, this guy's afraid to throw the ball. So, and I want to go back. They won both games by a total of 7 points. Okay, let's not get carried away there. Okay, they won by 3 points the other night. They won by what, 4 against Dallas?
Yeah.
I mean,
but Frank,
you know,
but Frank, let me give you a pushback because I largely agree with you. But this is an important point to say. He deserves tremendous credit for not turning it over.
Well, right.
And I believe part of why he plays a conservative brand is to avoid the turnover. And clearly, we know that's one of, if not the most important statistical thing that leads to wins or losses. And, you know, we can't just ignore that reality.
You can't. But you're not going to win averaging 125 yards a game past it either. I mean, that's a statistic, too, that you got to see. You know what I mean? Like, who the hell throws for that little bit of yards? But anyway, I just think that there's no reason. I mean, I don't care who the coordinator is. There could be no coordinator. He's got enough experience passing with these guys with this line.
Yeah.
He should be able to put up 200 yards with no problem. I mean,
all right. Well, Frank, I appreciate the call. It's a good call.
One more thing.
Yeah.
I want to give Mike Quick some props. I wanted to catch him online, but I remember it was like he was underrated. Mike Quick, I remember, was toe to toe with Joe Montana as far as the stat for. I'm sorry, not Montana, for Jerry Rice.
Catch
touchdowns per catch. He was right there, toe to toe with him.
Well, Frank, I'll make it real simple. I think now I was young during some of these years in the 80s. Okay, I want to be clear. But I think it is entirely possible that a healthy Mike Quick was the second best wide receiver in the 1980s.
Could have been.
Yeah. You had Art Monk, you had Steve Largent, you had Gary Clark, you had
Al Toon.
You know, pick your guys. Mike, listen, the most underrated players in my lifetime in Philly sports, because people like sort of forget a little bit, Mike Quick, Tim Kerr. There are a couple guys that were monsters.
Top of the freaking list,
and
man.
Just, and like their names just don't come up enough.
Quick was up there. Real quick, I know you got to go.
Sure.
they were second as far as the combo, as far as Cunningham to Quick. No one ever talks about that because Quick got hurt again. But yeah, he made a catch in the Pro Bowl. I think it was 86 or 87. He was on a post route. He flew in the middle of the field, put the right arm out, pulled it in, landed on his head, landed on his head and shoulder, tumbled about three times, and put the hold the ball in.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, he had hands like
greatest Pro Bowl catch of all time.
All right, Frank, great call, buddy. Call again as often as you can, especially when you agree with me. Well done.
Oh, look at you. All right, that's just because he's from Barney's. He's a very smart guy.
Let's listen to Ray Dittinger. We had Ray on the show earlier this week, and he assessed what he thinks the biggest issue with the Eagles offense is, and it relates to Petula. Here's what he said. When he played so well and they played so well in the NFC Championship game in the Super Bowl, I was hoping it would be a pathway to improved, consistent offense this year in the passing game. It has not been. Why?
I like to just attribute it to the fact that your key guys, your quarterback and your top receivers didn't play in the preseason. And to be frank, Brown and Smith didn't even practice all that much. They weren't taking full reps all during training camp. So they're still working it out. Your two wide receivers and your quarterback weren't really working that much in the preseason, and you've got a new offensive coordinator. And so that's a lot of stuff that kind of has to get worked out in the real season. And I think that's part of it. I know there's a lot of people that are really scratching their heads, and some of them openly wondering, oh my God, do we have really problems with the offense? I don't see it. I mean, last week was a struggle against the Cowboys, no question about that. But when I went back and looked at the tape, I mean, one of the things that jumped out at me, I thought, was I just didn't think the offensive line played very well. I mean, when I went back and looked at it again, for a unit that we absolutely think is the best in the league, and you expect it to play at a high, high level every week, the Dallas game was not that. I mean, Lane Johnson made a couple of mistakes, which you never see. Mailata got beat on a couple of plays, which you just don't see. The center, Juergens, I thought, really struggled against Clark. And Dickerson's obviously playing through some stuff. I mean, that's part of it.
Yeah.
The guy who played best on the offensive line last week was Steen. and you go back on it and you say, well, why would that be? And I think it's partly because he actually did play some in the preseason. The other guys had not. And
wow.
So then, people, that makes a difference. I mean, it really does make a difference. And I think they're still working through some of this stuff. I mean, the way Nick approaches things. And so I'm not overreacting or not overly worried about any of that stuff.
Hi, that was Ray. And by the way, my fault, not Petula. I was getting confused with Orlovsky. And we're going to play that audio in a second. So Ray's main thing is he thinks the guys didn't play enough in August to be ready for the season.
How about his point, though, that
which one?
Steen is the most, he's playing the best of the O-linemen right now because he's played the most of the O-linemen right now.
Yeah, I mean, the line has not looked rock solid. It has not looked rock
it hasn't,
solid.
In
it
either
hasn't
phase of the game,
dominant.
Rushing or passing.
And a lot of times the problems that you see, especially early, is when ET stunts come, and sometimes it's us. This works against us both ways. When our offense is on the field, and when our defense is on the field, the ET stunts. Where the defensive tackle and the defensive end, they cross.
Sure.
And it's hard for the offensive tackle and the guard to swap that off sometimes. when we ran that, when Jalen Carter was running the ET stunt in the game and he was supposed to be looping outside, he ended up losing contain. When he loops outside in an ET stunt, sure, he has to remember, hey, this is, now I got a lot of responsibility. I'm no longer D tackle. I'm now technically a defensive end. I've looped outside. Yep. I can't let Patrick Mahomes run outside of me. And when he did, he scored. I think the first touchdown that he scrambled,
gotcha,
it was because Jalen Carter lost contain.
So, you know, the thing from Ray is they didn't play enough in August to be ready to be humming offensively. Orlovsky's, yes, got a different main opinion. Listen to something Dan Orlovsky said this week on ESPN.
The pass game right now feels very predictable, and that's very specific to A.J. Brown. 10 times yesterday. They had A.J. Brown basically line up at the same spot and run essentially the same route. Now, at times it works because he's A.J. Brown, but there has to become more variance in relation to A.J. Brown's route running and what they do off of it. There's a reality where the defense just knew what he was running.
All right, so predictable is code for the coach has got to improve. I mean, that's code for Petullo and Sirianni got to draw up better plays.
Well,
Mike
Quick referenced it. It's like the same slant route every single time. Like, there's got to be, yes, more variation in there that they can use.
A lot of people are saying that. All right, so a lot of different theories. We'll talk to Jaws, get his sense of what's going on with the Eagles offense. Let's not forget they are 2-0. Let's not forget they're going to win, you know, 11, 12, 13 games, maybe 14. They got a great football team. But obviously we want to see them clean some stuff up. We'll talk to Jaws more about that and more up ahead as he joins us next. Getting ready for the Eagles and Rams, by the way. Jaws next, phone calls, plus times yours all ahead on 94 WIP. Let me tell you about FanDuel Sportsbook, always in partnership with Valley Forge Casino as they get you ready for kickoff with an offer you will not want to miss. You know, new customers can bet just $5. It's a great deal. Bet $5, and with that $5 bet, get $300 in bonus bets if you win. It's an incredible opportunity, and it's at FanDuel.com/hammer. FanDuel.com/hammer. Bet $5, and if you win, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets. Obviously, you can use it on Philly and L.A. Baseball coming up tonight. Philly and L.A. football coming up on Sunday. All the ways to bet, all the sports, all the leagues, all the games, all available for you at FanDuel.com/hammer.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.